Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is away taking care of the homecoming, the final arrangements for his son, who passed away last week after battling COVID-19 for over a month in the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Youngblood needs your prayers. We would ask you that you pray for him and his family. We had a number of callers who called in at the first half of the show. If you would like to join the show, the number is 904-831-0917. I'm Mike Hill. I'm hosting the show today for Dr. Youngblood. It's my honor to do so out of the Pensacola area. Here, I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial service agency for the past 31 years. Prior to that, I was active duty Air Force. After graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980, I was a state representative here from 2013 until 2020. I did have a 2-year break in there where I served for a total of 5 years representing District 1 and District 2 in the Panhandle. That's the Pensacola, Gulf Breeze area. So if you'd like to join in, again, the number is 904-831-0917. Just before the break, at the top of the hour, we were talking about an article written by Ben O'Neill talking about the rise of public policy by ransom. And public policy by ransom occurs when a government imposes a behavioral requirement on individuals and enforces this by punishing the general public in aggregate until a stipulated level of compliance is attained. This method relies on the members of the public and public commentators who will attribute blame for those negative consequences to recalcitrant citizens who fail to adopt the preferred behaviors of the governing class. That's right, and we will not adopt. We do have a caller on the line. Miss Lilly, thank you for joining the program. What is your question or comment, please? Hello, Miss Lilly, are you there? Hello? We seem to have lost Miss Lilly. Miss Lilly, try calling back if you can. Again, that number is 904-831-0917. Okay, getting back to this article written by the Mises Institute by Ben O'Neill. It is important to note, the article says, that the phenomenon of public policy by ransom should not be confused with the mere occurrence of bona fide conditional public actions undertaken by government. There is nothing inherently wrong with governments forming their policies conditional on the behavior of the public and changing policies when public behavior changes. Okay, let me stop right there. The distinction being is that government bases their policies on how the public responds, not the other way around, where the government is trying to force behavior on us by their decisions. Instead, it's the other way around, where we, based on our performance, based on our response, that's how they form their public policies. Now, back to the article. Indeed, public policies on pandemics and vaccinations clearly should be informed by public behavior relating to those issues. Governments must make choices about proposed pandemic restrictions, and these choices should be informed by relevant factors. While there is a scope for legitimate argument over reactive restrictions on the unvaccinated or the maskless, what has emerged as an ominous mode of thinking in this atmosphere is the reflexive attribution of blame to recalcitrant members of the public for any subsequent negative consequences imposed on the public by government policies. So that's exactly right. Here is the government imposing these policies. They have negative consequences, and now those who don't want to go along with these policies, they're being blamed for the negative effects that are happening from the government policies. You know, we started off with just wear masks, and that was going to be enough. Well, we now know that masks are not enough. I'm reading some data from a group called Just Facts, which, by the way, they are awesome. Just Facts does a tremendous job of research diligently and thoroughly to find out what those facts are. And here's one thing about masks. Okay, an infected respiratory particle, such as COVID-19, the size of it is 1 micron. Now, the pores in the finest surgical mask are as large as 17 microns. So in other words, the finest surgical mask are 17 microns. The COVID infective particle is 1 micron. It can get through the mask in and out very easily. And then in the finest cloth mask, it's 80 microns. So this 1 micron, I've heard the analogy, it's like a mosquito flying through a chain link fence, or a chain link fence trying to keep out a mosquito. That's about how effective masks are. Miss Lilly has called back. Yes, Miss Lilly, what is your question or comment, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Hill, Representative Hill. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
I think something is wrong with my line.
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, my God. It seems like my line has cut again. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. What is your question or comment? Okay, looks like we lost her again. Sorry about that, Miss Lilly. Again, if you would like to join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. That is 904-831-0917. Okay, back to this article written by Ben O'Neill from the Mises Institute. If the government chooses to impose a negative consequence on the public, even conditionally on the behavior of the public, that consequence is a chosen policy of the government, and it is not a policy of choice for those who they are governing. The government is only supposed to be there to secure our God-given rights of life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness. That is why they are there. Government is instituted among men to secure these God-given rights, not government rights. Life, liberty, and property, the pursuit of happiness. They are there to secure, not to impose their unscientific medical consequences on us because we don't want to wear a mask, or we don't want to get vaccinated, or we don't want to just stay in our home. They have no right, no authority to do that. And just as I've understood how Governor DeSantis, and thank God for Governor DeSantis, is standing up to the Department of Justice, who is right now saying that parents who go to school board meetings, and at these school board meetings, they are demanding that critical race theory and pornography be taken out of their schools, that now the Biden regime, Department of Justice, is calling these parents domestic terrorists and are to be taken care of. Is that insane or what? That school board made up of elected officials are supposed to be abiding by what the parents want, not the other way around. Here we have this Biden regime who has come out and basically said that parents, you don't get to choose what we teach your children. We choose what we're going to teach your children. Well, here's the response to that. Parents have been showing up at school board meetings all over the nation, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Show up at those school board meetings, demand that they remove critical race theory, which is nothing more than Marxism in disguise. Remove their attempts to divide us by race. Remove that out of your schools. Remove the pornography out of your schools. I have seen one clip where a parent had a book that was assigned to her child at school, and she started reading from the book, and it was so outrageous that the school board tried to shut her down, even though that is exactly what is being assigned to her child. So parents are saying enough of that and want to get those get it out of our schools. And here's the Biden regime saying that the Department of Justice is now going to treat those parents as domestic terrorists. Parents keep showing up. I showed up at our local school board meeting about 6 weeks ago and demanded that they stop showing this critical race theory video that the superintendent mandated for all employees. If you were a teacher, a janitor, or a bus driver, that all employees had to watch this critical race theory video. Well, me and about 10 other citizens showed up at the school board meeting and demanded that they stop it, and they did. Okay, we have Miss Lily back on the line. Hopefully, we'll be able to connect this time. Miss Lily, what is your question or comment, please?
Thank you very much. God bless you, Representative Hill. We appreciate that you're able to fill in for Dr. Youngblood, especially at this time. We are joining in with the family in their bereavement at the homegoing of their son. God has chosen to call home one of his representatives, one of his ambassadors in Virginia. And we are at this time rejoicing. We know that God has a master plan that possibly we are yet to realize. But we are joining in the homegoing of Gene Youngblood. God bless you today for filling in. Thank you. And with regard to the where we are, the first call, I think, mentioned, and you have been underlining it all along, the need for prayer has never before. Yes, I agree with it, that this is what we really need to be doing, praying as never before, because our nation is in trouble, and that means all of us in trouble. And the one thing I am saying that in the days gone by, Bible days, like Jonah, when Jonah ran with the message to Nineveh, which was a very corrupt and immoral city, extremely, they repented from top right down. The leaders called for penitence and repentance and cry out to God, and he
He heard their cry and had mercy upon them. But that I think that is one of our main problems today, to be able to repent as a nation. Thank God for God's representative, the faithful few who realize the importance of bowing down, confessing the sins of our people and our own sins, and bowing down in repentance to God. But as I say, our leaders today have abandoned God. They have put him out of the picture. They have canceled him out, God and his word, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. So there is no repentance on the national level as is needed today. But we're not to give up. We have to do what we have to do. We have a virus dealing with that is not the usual, not the normal virus. We have been dealing with virus over the years, and this is the first time that we have come to this mess or confusion that we find ourselves in. I'm fully convinced that it hasn't been, it is not a normal virus. The normal, we get enough information to know that it's man-made, tailored-made. Man has a input in it. And the treatment of it, because I lost a sister-in-law very early when it started. She was a strong heart, healthy person. And as soon as the symptoms come on, she was just put on ventilator. And that looked like a condemnation to die peacefully, as peacefully as you can. I think that if treatment was allowed, if the treatment that is available to deal with it was not suppressed, we would not have lost the amount of lives that we have lost.
Exactly right. And thank you so much for that phone call. You raised so many good points. And thank you for your faithfulness and for your prayers for Dr. Youngblood and his family. We really do appreciate that. Some of you may have seen this. This was on Tucker Carlson last evening, talking about how the Biden administration is now turning the Department of Justice on American citizens. And this is what Tucker Carlson said on his show. If you lived in this country 15 years ago and you have a good memory, you may remember the creation of something called the National Security Division at the Department of Justice. It was created back in 2005 when they re-upped the Patriot Act. The point of the National Security Division, we were told at the time, was to conduct counterterrorism and counterespionage operations against foreign adversaries. This was big stuff. Mostly, it was Islamic terrorism, which was the primary threat at that time. But these were also the people in charge of busting the Chinese spies who tried to steal our nuclear secrets. They stopped the suicide bombers and the hijackings. Not small stuff. Crimes that threaten the nation. That was then. So Tucker Carlson goes on to say, then Joe Biden became president in January, and the entire mission of the United States government changed and turned inward against you. A few days ago, the Department of Justice, under the radical attorney General Merrick Garland, announced that the National Security Division has a new domestic mission. According to Garland, effective immediately, the National Security Division is handling the investigation of harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school board members, teachers, and workers in our nation's public schools. The question is, who is threatening these teachers and school board members? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it the Russian government? Is it ISIS-K? No, it's parents. Parents are angry about what's happening in schools. And why are they angry? So let's take a look at the people Joe Biden has been nominating to senior leadership positions in the Department of Education. You can take a look at YouTube videos at school board meetings across the country over the past year, and we will know exactly why parents are mad. Parents who believe in things like biological sex, it's a male and female, and who oppose radical ideas like racial hierarchies in pre-kindergarten classrooms, teaching kids to hate their parents. Those are the threat, according to the Biden administration. You'll notice, if you look closely, that nowhere in Merrick Garland's recent order or the DOJ's press release is any explanation of these threats of violence. What's a threat of violence? Has violence occurred at these school board meetings? No. Look closer and you'll find this line. The Justice Department will also create specialized training and guidance that will help school board members understand the type of behavior that constitutes threats. So in other words, they have to inform these school board members, hey, you're being threatened. You need to be aware of this. And if it happens, then you call the police. Simply because parents show up and want to stop the critical race theory and pornographic materials that are in our public schools. Before I forget to say it, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say it right now. Then we'll get back to what Tucker Carlson was saying. Get your kids out of government public schools. The sooner, the better. Do it now. If you are any way able to do so, get your kids out of government public schools. I read something out of the New American from the John Birch Society that before COVID started, that homeschooling was about 3% of the population. That has now jumped to 11% of parents are homeschooling their kids. That is a tremendous jump. That is a tremendous change. And I would say parents, continue that trend. Get your children out of these public schools. They are providing a subpar education to our children. Those who do graduate and do so at a superb level, it is because that they have done that themselves, that not necessarily what that public school system as a whole is churning out. Okay, let's get back to this statement that Tucker Carlson made on his show. So it's a propaganda operation funded by you out of the Department of so-called Justice, designed to tell teachers and school board members that when parents complain, it's domestic terrorism. It's not the First Amendment in progress. It's not your Constitution voicing legitimate concerns. It's essentially a foreign adversary trying to kill you. Because remember, this department was set up to fight foreign adversaries. And now this radical Biden regime is turning this on you as parents. The Biden administration is trying to tell school board members using the Department of Justice that they are in physical danger from parents. And these parents are national security threats. Once again, nothing like this has ever happened in this country. It is an utter perversion of the mission and the power of the United States Department of Justice. It is almost impossible to overstate how sinister and crazy this is. We're talking about the Biden administration labeling parents as domestic terrorists because they go to school board meetings and complain about what is being taught to their children, such as critical race theory and given pornographic material in these schools. By the way, I'll mention when I was a representative in the Florida House, I was working with this group called the Florida Alliance of Christians, I believe it is, the Florida Alliance. And they came to me with some concerned parents about the pornography that was shown to children. In particular, this was out of Hillsborough County. So they showed me a book, this father did, and he said, this is material that was given to my ninth grade daughter to read. And it was a fictional book written by Toni Morrison. You might recall she was the lady who wrote The Color Purple, and it turned into a popular movie about, that's probably 30 years ago now. He showed me a book. It was written by Toni Morrison. It was not The Color Purple. It was a different book. And he said, this is what my ninth grade daughter was assigned to read. And he gave me the book. I opened it up, looked at it, and started reading about a page and a half. And I was horrified at the explicit sexual depiction that was in that book. And I looked at him, and he said, they gave this to my ninth grade daughter. So here's a young girl, 13, 14 years old, maybe 15, but still very young, and there is no way that should be in our school. So I filed legislation to have that removed from our school. And unfortunately, it was blocked by a Republican-led legislature. They said, Mike, if you were to file that and it passed, then teachers could be accused of being sexual predators. I said, that's nonsense. What I'm saying is you just take the material out of the school. And if the teachers don't want to take it out of school, then let them face the consequences. So let's go ahead and finish reading up here by Tucker Carlson. We almost never play the equivalence game because it's tiresome. But in this case, it's hard to resist. Imagine if Donald Trump's Department of Justice designated, say, CNN anchors as domestic terrorists, put it in writing, and then told men with guns to enforce the law. How would that go over? We, for one, would be outraged by it. All decent Americans would. And it would, in fact, be less of a stretch than this order from Biden declaring that parents are domestic terrorists because they want to remove pornography and critical race theory out of their schools. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just about running out of time here. So I want to thank you for joining the show today. I also want to ask that you please continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family, and saints, continue to pray for this nation. Don't be afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We must pray, saints. It is incumbent upon us. If we don't, no one else in the nation will. Call upon the living God to show us mercy, grace, and benevolence. It is so needed. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood. Have a blessed day.
Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.